Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We are going to the Western Hotline. There's a lot of hockey to cover, not just the draft. Trades, free agency, maybe offer sheets. So we thought it'd be a good idea to bring in a guy who used to be a GM in the league. And these days you can catch his work at TSN.ca and on TSN. Craig Button joining us here on WGR. Craig, it's Howard and Jeremy. Welcome to the show. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you gentlemen as well. Did that parade route start in Buffalo? Because it seemed to take about 9 hours for them to move about a couple of miles.
We were saying, as big as the parade was yesterday, Craig, you would know this too. Imagine if the Leafs ever won a cup, imagine how many people would show up for that parade.
Yeah, it would be pretty big. Although when you think about, you know, yesterday, and then they're saying over 3 million people. I mean, that's a pretty big parade. I don't know. I didn't know this. Did you know in 1967, 30,000 people showed up for the Leafs Stanley Cup parade?
I didn't know that, no. They'd get a little more.
30,000 people. What was their fourth cup in I don't know how many years, 6 years or whatnot. And so 30,000 people at the parade, and then somebody said, well, they were used to winning. They didn't need to go to a parade. Boy, would they love to have one now, wouldn't they?
If they only knew then that, you know, 40-plus years later, maybe more people would have gone to the parade at that point. Hey, before we get into the draft with you and Craigslist, the big news of the day in the world of hockey yesterday, of course, was the Carlson deal. What are your thoughts on him staying in San Jose? And I guess the second part, Craig, would be, how does San Jose look at all their UFAs and their RFAs and make this work? They're going to have to do some roster movement, won't they?
Yeah, they sure will. Hey, listen, Erik Karlsson, we know he's a good player, okay? So that's not one. We all know what Doug Wilson's trying to do. It's an 8-year deal for a 29-year-old player that's got injury issues. And, I mean, this contract is not going to age well. I mean, Dion Phaneuf at 34 just got bought out. And, Erik Karlsson, do I think he can be a good player for 3-4 years? Yeah, I think 4 might be stretching it. Because at $11.5 million, there's an expectation that you're an elite player. You're an elite performer, performing not just at the top of your team, but at the top of the league. So to me, that just can't happen. It's just, I mean, everybody thinks they can beat, the decline. And at 29, it starts. But it's not going to age well. And to your point, you know, you start to look at the other contracts and how you manipulate your roster and everything. And it's not basketball. One player does not get you into a position where paying them that much money can make that big of a difference. And you know what? Look at the Toronto Maple Leafs. John Tavares, I mean, good player. But, you know, the same thing is going to happen to him. I mean, there's going to be a decline, and the last years of that contract are not going to look good. And, you know, people say, well, if you win a Stanley Cup, it doesn't matter. Oh, okay. If. I think you got to manage your team on a basis of a lot of different factors, and you can't just say, well, I got to go for the Stanley Cup. Understand what he's doing will not be a contract that will age well.
Let me ask you, and this could actually tie into the Sharks discussion. Winnipeg was another team that people looked at and thought, well, you're going to have to do something with the RFAs, with Tyler Myers. How do you make it all fit? So they trade Trouba. And I'm wondering, Craig, is this, will we see more of this? Will we see Tampa? Will we see Toronto? Will we see Vegas? Will we see other teams that are going to have cap issues for whatever reason start moving pieces?
Yeah, you have to do it. There's no way. There's no other way around it. You have finite resources called the salary cap. So, you know, Jacob Trouba was going to be an unrestricted free agent next summer at the age of 26. He'll be coveted. And he, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff realized, I'm not going to be able to sign him. And then he knows I need money. And the money, you need the money now. You don't need the money in August because now the free agent market is dried up. So for him to try to re-sign Tyler Myers or other free agents, he had to make this move now. Neil Pionk's a good, solid player. I mean, a lot of people in Winnipeg don't know how good he is, but he's a good, solid player. They get a first-round draft. This is a necessary trade for the Winnipeg Jets because of what you pointed out, RFAs, managing your roster. And hey, listen, Kevin knows he's a good player, Trouba is, but you got to walk away from players. Listen, and Buffalo Bills fans aren't going to want to hear this, but I got to say, All you got to do, the model for dispassionate assessment is with the New England Patriots. And that's what you have to do in a salary cap world. The problem is everybody thinks that the salary cap, the implications and all the different things that apply to everybody, they think when they're signing their own players, it doesn't apply to them. And that's where you make the mistake. Belichick and the Patriots never fall into the trap, ever.
Well, they don't have to fall into the trap because they've got the most important piece that makes up for everything, and that is the greatest quarterback of all time.
Okay, yeah, well, it doesn't make up for everything because when you walk away from Jamie Collins and you walk away from Chandler Jones, these are impact players. And my point is, if you don't have linemen and you don't have players that can block for Tom Brady, you don't have receivers that can catch the ball, it's not basketball. And so I know what you're saying about Tom Brady. Well, guess what? It applies to hockey too. And you have to be able to say no. I can't afford them. I got to move on. You have to make in a world with finite resources, and you have to make these decisions.
Don't you think the
Patriots do it every year, and the NHL teams don't? And then all you got to do is look around the league and look at the bad contracts that haven't aged well, and these aren't going to age well.
But don't you think with hockey teams, Craig, that you can identify maybe, I don't know what the magic number is, 3, 4, but maybe what the Leafs are doing. You're going to have a handful of guys that are going to make the big money, and your middle class will get squeezed out, and then you're going to need a whole bunch of younger players that are relatively cheap.
Yeah, good luck trying to win with that. Good luck.
How do you win?
Well, you win by having to make the hard decisions. Do you think you can win with $40 million tied up in four players? I'm going to talk about the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I want to answer that question first. Yes, I do, and I think teams will start to do that over the course of time. We've just entered the $10 million contract era, and I don't expect it to stop anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm going to say, name me the $10 million so you don't expect it to stop. You got $40 million tied up in four players. Now wait a sec. Then you got Morgan Riley and Frederick Anderson. That's $50 million in six players.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So how do you win? I mean, you're telling us a lot of ways.
How do you win? Like, listen, you have to form a team. There's not one right way to do it. But I can tell you this: in a world in a salary cap with finite resources, you have to make hard decisions. That will never change. And you have to walk away from players because you can give $10 million to this player, this player, this player. You're not going to have enough players to fill out your roster. And you're not going to have enough good – yeah, you'll have players that can play, that can be on the roster. They're not going to help you be successful. And that is going to be – unless the salary cap goes up massively, and I don't see that happening.
Well, I mean, the cap does go up every year. I guess my question to you is, would you – if you're a GM, would you put a cap number on the max contract you would pay?
No, I don't think you have to box yourself in. I think that what you have to do is every situation is different. But when you're not ready to make decisions to walk away from players because of the implications that it could have negatively on your team and on your salary cap, then you're not – like I said this last year, John Tavares is a really good player. I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs needed him. I don't think they needed him. I think it was an unnecessary luxury. And listen, he's good. I get that they won July 1st with the press conferences. I think they're going to have a tough time, managing those types of contracts and filling out the roster to be a successful Stanley Cup contender.
We're with Craig Button here on our Western Hotline.
I guess, Craig, what I think is what you're seeing is like teams like Boston. Boston doesn't have a big contract yet. They signed their deals a couple years ago. You know who's in great shape is Colorado, because Nathan MacKinnon signed for really cheap before everybody kind of figured out that the top players are now going to make $10 million. So Colorado is primed to have an incredible run with relatively cheap deals and good young players. But, I guess what I would say to you is my belief is that what will happen is and I've said this a lot on the station, I think the middle-class player in the NHL will be squeezed out. And you will have top guys, and everybody else is going to have to settle for the rest. The people that will end up paying for those high players, those high-priced players, are the guys at the bottom who can't get a raise.
So really what you're telling me is how long will this evolution take?
Probably about 3 more years. I mean, it's already started to happen. There are only how many $10 million players in the league? We did it today.
10.
There are 10. I would bet within 3 years there are 30. How much is Jacob Trouba going to sign for?
I don't know. My point isn't about do the players deserve it? Are they worth it? My point is about the management side of things. You have to make tough decisions. And the reason I point out the New England Patriots, there's a reason why they've stayed at the top of the league. And, they do a great job with talent acquisition. Yeah, they have Tom Brady. They make decisions that they don't fall in love and just put themselves in the salary cap hell. When you get yourself in the salary cap hell, good luck to you.
All right, before we let you go, I wanted to get a couple Sabres questions in with you real quick. At 7, you have your Craigslist out. At 7, who would you suggest for the Sabres in that order, in that spot on the draft?
Well, here's what I think. I don't think the Sabres can go wrong at 7. I think there's going to be different types of – there's going to be centermen available. There's going to be wingers available. So whether that's Cole Caulfield and Matthew Boldy wingers, whether it's centermen like Trevor Zegras or Kirby Dach or Dylan Cousins, and even defensemen like Philip Broberg, a defenseman you want to consider in that area. So I think that – I mean, that's just one player. I mean, there might be some other defensemen that they covet. But the Buffalo Sabres are going to have options at 7. And I think that all the players that I just mentioned, I think they're really good players and have the ability to have to be real strong players in the NHL. So it comes down to what do they want to do? What do they want to add to their team? And I think that, again, when I use the term you can't go wrong, I really believe you can't go wrong with any of those players.
I saw some of your comments on Cole Caulfield. You seem to be a very big fan of him.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't anybody be a big fan of 72 goal scorers? You know, I've used this term now a number of times, and I'll just go back. Three Hall of Famers that scored almost 2,000 goals. I'll tell you what was said about them in their draft year. Mike Bossy couldn't play defense. Brett Hall, too lazy. Luke Robitaille couldn't skate. So I'm hearing the same things about Cole. Oh, he's not tall. Mm-hmm. All I know is elite goal scorers, they don't come along very often. So I know he's only 5'7" and a quarter, but I know this. He has all the qualities of elite goal scorers. So to me, I've never heard a coach say, I don't need any more goals. Don't give me any more goals. They all want more goals. And this guy does it better than anybody in the draft.
Craig Button with us here. Hey, last thing for you, Craig. When you look overall at the Sabres roster and what needs to be done this offseason, there's been, you know, Jason Botchel's talked about adding scoring. For sure you can say he needs a number two center. They probably need at least another winger on a top two line. What do you think the Sabres need to add this offseason?
Well, I think that when you look down the roster, I think that they got to add. And you know what? You look at scoring. You look at a second line center. I think that you need to have players that can carry play. And I'm not, a lot of times you look at the top end and go, we need 30 goals. Yeah, well, that'd be nice. But I think they need more depth throughout their lineup, more depth of, like, you look at the St. Louis Blues, you look at the Boston Bruins, and I'm not saying that you just go be like those teams. But what do they don't put too much – they alleviate the pressure on their top guys because those other players can go out and carry significant play in their respective areas. I think that's how you become a really good team and you become a really difficult team to play against. And I think that's – if it's a score, great. But if you get a couple of players that can really drive play from your third line and you get a really good number four defenseman that can really add a different element to your team, those are areas that can really help this team. Because one of the big challenges for the Buffalo Sabres last year is that when their top players weren't on the ice, they had massive challenges, and that created a lot of problems for them.
Craig Button joining us from TSN. You can read his draft work, his Craigslist at tsn.ca. Craig, thanks for giving us some time on the show this morning. Enjoy the draft.
I will, thanks. You have a great day.
You bet.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.